Hi guys, we are No Such Thing as a Fish, and we have written a book of the most amazing things to have happened this year.
Did you know the British government this year issued a death sentence to a single bee?
Our podcast is all about facts, and our book is jam-packed with all the best facts that we've found over the last 365 days.
That's right, so if you want to stuff those newsy facts into your head, search for The Book of the Year 2019.
And if you just want to listen to our podcast, go to nosuchthingasafish.com.
Hi folks, this is Doug. The episode you're about to hear is unusual. We've never done anything like it before. And while I can't say much without spoiling everything, I want you to know going into this that everything you're about to hear is totally real. I mean, it's fiction, but it happened this way. It's improvised, like every other episode. The making of this episode is a story for another time. But know that it was recorded in complete darkness, in isolation, and if you've got the means, I'd recommend listening to it the same way. Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by The Nerdy Show Network. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you.
Visit nerdyshow.com/support to learn about our Patreon, shop through our Amazon links, or give a one-time donation.
And if you'd like to open your own Ghostbusters role-playing franchise, head to gbrpg.com.
As you may remember, when we last left off, everyone had just gone inside the haunted house on the backlot at Universal Studios. You stepped inside, and it was complete pitch black, and you heard a voice say, "Welcome home."
Yes.
And that's where we ended it. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to turn these off.
Oh, God.
So we're going to be in as much in the dark as possible. So you're in the dark. What would you like to do?
Don't remember marching order, but I'm going to look around and see if anyone is next to me. Put a hand out to where I think LaForge or Poole would have been.
Yeah, you don't feel anything nearby. You don't hear anything. You can hear your own breathing, but you don't see. Obviously, it's pitch black. You reach out. You call out. You don't hear them. You don't see them.
Okay, I put on my goggles.
It's blindingly bright. Like, you can't. It's just white screen.
Like, I could use my goggles as, like a flashlight at this point because it's so dark.
You're just seeing dark. This is reminding you of the time you were in that hole in the phone booth.
I recall that very clearly.
After a moment, because there's really not much you can do, like you just seeing how empty and dark it is, you start to hear the distant sound of people chatting, like a small crowd maybe, and maybe a little bit of music.
Can I pinpoint a direction that sound is coming from?
Yeah, you can sense that it's coming from a certain direction. You can face that direction. And if you want to start walking in that direction, you'll see a little bit of light in the distance. And the more you go towards it, it's going to get a little bit brighter, a little bit brighter. And you're going to sense that you are making some actual progress towards this thing. You finally start to see that it's almost like you're exiting a dark hallway and you're entering a much more brightly lit area. You're hearing the sounds of, like, unmistakably now, this is like a party. Okay. There's music playing and stuff. And it sounds kind of nice. And as you're entering, there's two walls, and you can go between these two walls, and you see the light spilling out from this party. But on these two walls, there's a lot of empty slots, and on some of these empty slots, they're not empty because there's, like, a mask on it, like a masquerade mask. And as you look into the party, it's like some kind of masquerade party happening.
I take a mask.
Okay, do you put it on?
I carry it with me.
So you walk inside, and the full brunt of the music and the smells and everything hits you, and everyone's walking around with a mask on, and people are chatting in there. Everyone's got a drink in their hand. They seem like they're having a great time. It seems like, you know, a good bunch of folks. And it's not too long before some of them start to notice you, and they're just like, "Hey, look at this guy. Hey, all right." And, like, they're kind of getting chatty with you and just kind of getting you a pat on the back and just, like, saying, "Hey, man, you doing all right? You got a mask? You need a different mask? You good to go? You like, what's up?"
No, I'm good. I'm good. It just hurt in my face a little bit. I wanted to take it off for just a moment, kind of rest.
And they're like,
little too tight, you know?
They're just, okay, yeah. And they're kind of leaving. Like, you want anything to drink? You know, we got some stuff at the bar. You, like, you know, you good?
Nah, DD. I'm good.
DD? All right, man. All right. So what would you like to do? You got this open party in front of you. The weird thing is you're not really sure if you recognize the space. It just kind of seems not like a bar that you've been in. I mean, like, you can clearly see a bar. There's one bartender working. Seems like he's struggling to keep up with how many people are there. But you don't notice an exit, per se.
The entrance that I came in through, is it still there?
Mm-hmm. but it's just kind of nice in here, and there's music playing, and...
I kind of look around. Do I notice any theming? What anything would give me a hint as to what's being celebrated, or...?
It looks like it's a Halloween party.
Okay.
But it's like a masquerade Halloween party. There's like some classic masks of old opera masks or like superhero masks. Not like literally like, oh, he has a Captain America mask on. Not like that. But just like the ones that cover your eyes, like
okay.
Robin, you know.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
So that. Sort of like classic masquerade ball masks. Mm. But people are some people wearing modern costumes or modern clothing, you know, and just it seems pretty chill. After a while, someone's going to come up to you and just brush alongside you and just like, oh, man, you're dressed up as a Ghostbuster. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was a lot of work to put this together.
Everything's kind of going full swing. Even the bartender has a mask on. You're going to notice him, like, he keeps looking over at you, because you're sort of standing in the corner, you're not really mingling. He just kind of looks nervously over at you every now and then and tries to get back to work, but he's having a hard time keeping up with everything.
Yeah.
And
I go to the bar.
He's kind of looking at you, and he's just like, hey, are you doing okay? I see you're not wearing your mask. Is everything okay with you?
Yeah, everything's good. I say it's just a little small. I should have probably grabbed one that was a little bit bigger. Yeah. Can I get a glass of water or something, then?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sure. And so he'll pull out a glass and he'll pour you some water and he'll like slide over to the bar to you. So listen, I'm kind of falling behind here. You don't happen to like have any bartending experience, do you?
Yeah, I dabble a little bit.
Okay, could you just help me out for just a little bit? I just the simplest things. If you can just sort of just take that end, and if it gets too hectic for you, you can just stop at any time. I just need someone to help me because there's just too many people. There's only one of me, so I just need some help really, really quick if you don't mind.
I'm very suspicious of this, but yeah, sure.
Okay. He'll bring you back, and you're at the back of the bar. And then and some people are like, oh, we got another bartender. And so it's not, like, overwhelmingly crazy, but some people are, you know, they cheer. And people start asking for really simple things. It's really not that big of a deal.
Okay.
So you start handing out more drinks, and people are commenting about your costume, you know. People commenting about the fact that, you know, you don't have masks. Is everything okay? And, you know, same old, same old. After you pour a couple drinks, you notice that in the crowd, someone who's getting in line for a drink, there's this really attractive girl, but she's not wearing a mask. She's dressed in kind of typical dark gothic Morticia Adams kind of Halloween costume. She's kind of giving off a vibe, you know. Hmm. And she's making her way through the line, and she gets up. After her, the line kind of dissipates, like there's not enough people. So as she finally gets up to the front, she just says, hey, can you make me something special? Just something different. I don't care what it is. Just surprise me.
Do I have the ingredients to make Falcon Punch?
what are the ingredients?
Strawberry Pucker, 151, and of course, Cold Hawaiian Punch.
Falcon Punch being your magic concoction drink of choice when you're at parties in real life.
Yes.
And the things that you made members of a Cult of Veritas drink when you were inducted into that. Yes. I'll say you have a knockoff, probably Hawaiian Punch. You probably don't have a name brand, but I mean, yeah.
That'll suffice.
Yeah, sure. All right, and while she sees you getting together, you're like, I got just the thing, right? So like, you're going to start putting it together, and while you start making it, she says, just one condition. I want you to make two so that we can toast at midnight, which is about 3 minutes from now.
Okay.
So you make it, and you're getting ready, and so you're waiting for midnight. She just starts, so, Ghostbuster costume, right?
Yeah, big fan of those guys.
She's like, yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, you know, don't you think that what they do is a little bit weird, though? I mean, like, people die. That's kind of like a natural part of life, isn't it? And as a Ghostbuster, they go and, like, they remove people from, like, that natural part of existing in this universe. And they're using, like, science, which is cool and all, but it's kind of artificial. It's like they're artificially altering, like, natural things.
Well, it's not really like we're removing the souls of the dead. It's like just psychokinetic energy. It's not really they bust the ghost of your grandma. It's not really your grandma that they're busting.
You said we.
Yeah, sorry, no. I'm just, it's a silly little fan club that we're part of. You know, we like to...
Oh, I think I heard it. I think I have like a cousin who's in like the little Ghostbuster club. Are you in that?
It's more of a, like a LARP. You know, role playing. We go out to the woods and we pretend, you know.
All right. Like she's like, all right, that's a little strange, but okay. She's like, there's a saying, like, the boundaries between life and death are shadowy at best, and even the wisest men cannot say where one and the other begin and end. Would you agree with that?
I mean, that's fair enough, you know, all things considered. Like, no one really knows what happens after we die.
So you agree?
I'd say yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Are you agreeing just because you think that's what I want you to say? Or do you, like, really agree with, like, what I'm really saying?
To be fair, I'm just saying that because I think that's what you want me to say.
Well, I at least like that you're honest, and that's cool. And with that, you're going to hear people starting to count down that the midnight's about to happen. And she's like, oh, it's about to happen. Yeah, you're not wearing a mask either. So I guess the unmasking thing isn't going to really be applicable to both of us. 3, 2, 1, midnight. And then everyone starts to take off their masks, and she's getting ready to toast for you. But as you look around the room, as they're taking off their masks, you're seeing hideous faces. And it's starting to sink in that everyone who's been wearing a mask is already dead. These people are, some of them are long dead, some of them are violently dead, some of them are just like cold and gray and everything, but they're all thrilled and they're having a great time and laughing when they're seeing each other's faces. And this woman in front of you, as she raises her glass to you, the contents of her glass turn black. She nods in a toast to you and then takes a sip, sort of looks to you to do the same.
Does my drink turn black?
Oh, yeah. The fact that you're hesitating, she's kind of looking at you strange. Why is this guy hesitating? And you're going to start to see her. She's dying in front of you. She doesn't act like she's dying. She's just standing there. They're looking at you, but her face starts to shrivel and shrink. And she grows pale, and she's clearly dying. It's like the end of Beetlejuice, right?
You know? Oh, God.
So, yeah, it's unpleasant to see, but she seems perfectly fine. And she's like, are you not here to be part of the party?
I drop the cup and I step back and I say, no, I'm not. I think I've changed my mind about this.
You're not here for a masquerade, so you're not in costume.
No, I'm not. Do I still have my gear? Do I have my gear? I still have my proton pack, right?
Yeah. I'll say you can reach for it, sure.
I reach for my neutronal wand and I hit the switch.
Sure. And with that, you're going to see her, the final bit of life leave her. And when you click on that proton pack, the sound is like a record scratch to the whole party. Everyone was chilling. Everybody was having a great time. Everyone just stops. There's no more music. And they just all slowly turn in your direction. And they just stare. And they're just looking. They're not advancing. They're not doing anything. But the woman in front of you, who was so attractive before, now is this husk of what once was. Her eyes just roll back black, and you hear another voice comes out. It's not the same voice that was before.
My wall!
What?
Why do you not embrace mortality and shed it like skin?
What?
Nah, I'm not down for this. This isn't happening. Like, I want out of here. I need to clear a path.
They're all around you. They're not moving. And you're behind a bar.
You hesitate. But if you refuse death, it does not stop it from happening.
I sort of tell her I want out of here. I need to leave now.
You have this grand moment of celebration, and you have a choice. Will you control your own inevitable demise, or will you succumb to someone else making the choice for you?
I think I'd rather make that choice myself. Can I fire?
You can try.
I hit the button.
Normally I'd make you roll, but nothing happens.
Oh, Michael. Pour yourself another drink. If you choose to control your own death, you can be joined with us here. Death is filled with uncertainty on this physical plane. And here, all these people who wandered into this house of death have embraced it.
Oh, God. She's offering another drink, isn't she?
Yeah, but it's pretty clear to you by now that in order to, if you take this drink, you're going to join them, and it would be dead, like real death. But as the voice had said, that means if you're not going to make the choice, then someone else is going to have to make that choice for you.
Oh, no.
Now, to start the game, you are in pitch black darkness.
Okay, this is creepy.
And you heard the voice say, "Welcome home." And now, what would you like to do?
I'd say, this doesn't look like my home. And who are you exactly? And what are you doing here?
And you get nothing but silence.
I guess this much. Well, I would still, I still know that my friends are there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I might not see them. I might not be able to reach out to them physically, but they're there. They're somewhere around me.
Now, I'll say that you do hear a sound in the distance. It kind of sounds like waves, like, oh, maybe like a river. And then you start to hear maybe like the sort of hustle and bustle of a crowd. And if you look, you're trying to sense where the direction of the sound is coming from. You do see a point of light in the distance.
Okay.
You start to feel the wind on your face, and you hear more distinctly. It sounds like maybe like a dock, like by some water, and there's people moving about, and it sounds really normal. And as you finally step into the light, you find yourself outside. It's nighttime. It's late at night, but you are on a dock somewhere in a town, and like some kind of city. Except everything looks really old. It doesn't look like modern day. It kind of looks like you're like, is this the old West? What is this? Like you're really not quite sure. And you're looking around and you're on this dock and you see a big steamship. And the steamship is like a side paddle boat, you know, not the kind you'd see at Disney World, but like it's the steam paddle boat, but the paddle boat is on, the paddle part is a big circle that's on the side of the ship.
Uh-huh.
Two smokestacks. They're loading and unloading. They're unloading like what looks like a bunch of crates of like sugar and stuff. And they're loading up men. So this looks like there's some women, but the vast majority of the men that are being loaded up onto the ship are wearing Union soldier outfits from the American Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're looking around, you know, you look back maybe the way you came, you don't see a tunnel anymore. The thing that you exited, you don't see it. And as you look down at yourself, you're wearing a dress that's period appropriate for that time. I'm going to hand you a photo of the ship that you see, and I just want you to just kind of describe it so everyone can get a good picture of it.
Okay. Oh, wow, it's the Sultana. I know that.
Do you?
Yeah, I know about the Sultana.
Mm-hmm. And so describe, what are you seeing?
Well, I am seeing a rather large, was just pretty giant steamboat loaded to the rafters with people upon people upon people. I mean, there's hundreds upon hundreds of people on this boat, front and back.
As you are noticing all this, you see there's a gentleman in a Union soldier outfit who's got a leg missing, and he's desperately, with like one crutch, trying to get up the ramp into the ship. This man struggling, and this is like late at night. It looks like they're like, come on, hurry up, we gotta get on this thing, we gotta get a move on. Will you get on already? And this, people are giving this guy a hard time, but he's clearly having a difficult time trying to get up this thing.
Mm-hmm. I could help him up that thing, but I know the history of the Sultana.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I know that this is not like a trip that one wants to go on, as in ever.
Are you sure you know that? What's becoming more clear to you is that you're supposed to be on this boat because you're trying to make it back to St. Louis. And this is the boat that's going to St. Louis. You definitely remember that you're supposed to be on this boat. You know, you don't really remember how you got here. This Union soldier with a missing leg, he falls, and he falls hard this time. He's like, ugh, like they're losing their patience with this guy. He sees you on the dock, and he sees that you're close by. He says, I'm sorry, miss. Oh, this damn leg is not making things any easier.
Well, I guess I'll help him up.
And as you lead him up the gangplank, you lead him up onto the boat. He says, sorry, ma'am, but I very much appreciate you helping me out. And I know it's going to be a tight squeeze, but I'll try to make sure that we get some extra space for you. And he seems really friendly. Seems like he wants us to strike up a conversation. He seems like a pleasant guy. He tells you a little bit about himself. He says that he's originally from West Virginia. All the men on this boat were in a Confederate prison camp, and they, since the war is over, they've recently been released and they're all going home. And he's just happy and he's hoping to enjoy the ride. And a little after midnight, the boat shoves off and it starts going up the Mississippi River. And it's nice and it's quiet. And he just starts picking your brain, just wants to know more about you and like, where are you headed?
Well, I tell him that I don't have much of a recollection of the past 48 hours. But what I do know is that the name of the boat is very familiar to me, and that I have a very, very bad feeling, more so than superstition, that something bad is going to happen, that we all need to be off this boat and try to find a different way. Everybody needs to try to find a different way of getting where they're going.
Hmm. He says, oh, yeah, no, I think I can sympathize. Before I lost my leg in battle, I remember having a similar feeling. I had a lot of fear hit me, and it is hard. And trying to work your way through it, you know, you got a job to do, and even though you're scared, you gotta do it. And maybe you'll get lucky. Some of my friends weren't, but even though I had it hard, I'm still happy with the way things turned out. And it's just something you got to learn to deal with: fear of danger, fear of dying.
I'm like, granted. However, if dying can be avoided, then maybe it should be avoided.
Well, it's not a choice. You really can't avoid it sometimes. Sometimes it just happens without warning. And you don't get the luxury of deciding when you go.
I understand that, but I'm saying if somebody, let's say somebody who is potentially from the future, could warn you of something potentially bad going to happen, would Wouldn't you at least take the chance to trust that person on the off chance?
Well, I think maybe making someone afraid is a disservice. Warning somebody. You think you can change things, but maybe things happen because you attempted to change it.
Possible, but
I mean, the nature of danger and death is unpredictable at best, wouldn't you say?
Not in all cases.
He's going to get a little rigid, and he's going to look at you, he's going to give you a long, hard stare, and then his eyes are suddenly going to roll black as he's staring at you, and then he starts speaking with a voice that is not the voice he was using before.
No crap.
Why do you fear death, Nina?
I think it's quite natural.
It is perhaps in your nature, as a creature of the physical plane, to not appreciate the transience of the soul. For once death takes you, you have no choice but to submit.
I don't know about that. I think we all have a choice in life. And we definitely have a choice of how, and sometimes we have a choice of when we're going to die. So if I'm already feeling like there's something around me that's kind of, you know, leading towards death, then I think I'm going to get off.
What a pity. You are about to witness the worst maritime disaster in this nation's history. In but moments.
Which is, yeah, I see, I was thinking that was it would happen, so instead of all gloating, we should all find out, you know, like, what we can do about that.
To know the history of this boat, this is a gift, a moment. All those hearts, like a panicked cacophony, and then ceasing, like the dying of stars. An orchestral crescendo, abruptly silencing. Their resonance leaving a few trace echoes in the auditorium of the universe. It's ironic, but beautiful, that this magnificent offering to the well of souls, these lives, would be forgotten in your history because of one singular death that overshadows all of them.
Now, what would that be?
The President of the United States.
I'm turning away from the guy, and I'm like, okay, you're weird. I need to figure this out here, but we could basically use those. Is there anything I can do to amplify my voice?
You are literally surrounded on all sides by other soldiers who are just milling about their business. They're jam-packed onto this boat. You ain't going anywhere.
Lifeboats. How are we doing on lifeboats?
There are no lifeboats on a steamboat.
Shouldn't there be?
This boat was only meant to carry 300 people down the Mississippi River.
Do you think these people in general can swim? Because I think that's the only way to...
Oh, it don't matter, because when these boilers explode... The explosion is so grand.
Embrace it!
Three of the four boilers explode, and it rips through the crowded decks that are all around it. Some people go flying into the water. The explosion itself destroys the pilot house of the boat. And
so, am I just too late on this whole thing because I'm not very good on history?
Oh, it had nothing to do with history. You can't stop this from happening. Now that the pilot and the pilot house are done, the boat is now out of control, and it is now just going down the river at an skewed angle. The flames are everywhere. People are burning, people are screaming, and people are being thrown into the water. The panic on the decks is so strong. People are freaking out, pushing each other out into the water, and people are burning. They're falling deeper into the hull of the boat, and in the panic, you are being shoved and pulled. And you're kind of, are you going to try to stay on board this boat? Or are you going to jump? There's really not many other options you have.
You have a choice, Megabanks.
I do?
But only a choice in whether or not you can embrace the fact that when you die, it will simply happen.
Okay, so basically, I don't have a choice. That's what you're saying.
Do you want to stay on the boat that's on fire, or do you want to jump in the water with the panicking people?
I don't know. I jump into the water.
All right. You leap over the railing, you jump into the water. All around you, people are splashing and screaming, and they're trying to band together. They're trying to stay afloat, but there's so many people in the water, and they all surround you. They're all trying to huddle together, trying to stay afloat, but there's so many people all bunched together. People are climbing on top of other people, and unfortunately, you're getting pushed under. And you are under the water, you're getting kicked, and you're getting further and further from the surface, and you are running out of breath, and it is looking very, very bad. We're going to pick it up right where we left off. So you're in the dark.
First scan around. I guess I'll call out Josh. Wall. Anyone but Briggs?
You don't get a response.
Okay. I press the flashlight on my...
And it's just black.
Okay, if I put my hand in front of my face, do I see my hand?
Yes.
Okay.
This is reminding you of the phone booth orb that you went into in season one.
Right, okay. I never actually went into it, so this is...
But you remember the descriptions and everything.
Yes, yeah.
It's the same sort of experience that you were feeling where it's just dark. You look down, you don't see a floor, you just see blackness. You're not falling. You look forward, you look around, you look all sides, just endless black.
Okay, and I should have paid better attention. I have ecto goggles?
Yes, you do.
Okay, I put those on.
Blinding white lights, basically a white screen in front of each eye.
Oh, God, that's awful. All right, I immediately undo that.
Yeah.
Okay, when I called out names, did I hear an echo of any kind?
No.
No, nothing.
No echo. As you are kind of turning around, you feel something very quickly. You don't really have much time to react, but you feel something seemingly bump you from behind, like a weight of maybe a person like that bumped into you.
Okay.
It bumps into you. You get jostled for just a quick moment, and then you feel a very sharp pain, and then you fade to black.
Wow. Okay.
You're unconscious.
Okay.
You start to come to, and you feel you are laying on a cold floor. Your eyes start to flutter open, and there's a little bit of light. You realize that you're in somewhere. It's nighttime, wherever you are, but you're in a place with some windows, and you feel a really sharp pain, like the after effect of a pain in your neck.
Ooh.
And as you start to realize where you are, you recognize you're inside the firehouse. But all the lights are out.
Okay.
You don't see anyone around.
All right, if I pat myself down, do I feel any of my gear?
No.
Whew. Okay. If I look around in any of the places where we would have gear, do I see anything?
You're kind of in the main area where the Ecto would pull in, sort of the garage area.
Is the car there?
No.
Okay.
It's empty, and it's very quiet. It's kind of eerie. But you smell something, and it actually smells really good. It smells like someone's making food or something. It's hard to tell, but it's something smells great.
Okay.
And it's further inside the firehouse, like not in the garage.
Okay. I follow the scent then. Mm-hmm.
As you get up, you know, you're a little bit woozy, but you know, you're all have all your senses.
Okay.
And you go through, but the firehouse's lights are all out. You can still see, you can still make your way around. You go around like a table and stuff, and you're trying to follow this scent of something that smells like some great food.
And my neck still hurts.
Yes.
Okay.
And you find your way towards the sleeping quarters, and as you open the door into the sleeping quarters, all the lights are out, as they've been out. But you see Ralph is actually still there. But Ralph has his back to you, and he's hunched over, and the smell is permeating the entire room. And at this point, he hears you, and he turns, and he's holding the limp body of Felicia Silver as she has two puncture wounds in her neck.
Holy fuck.
She's barely conscious. She's fading in and out of consciousness. And he looks up at you, and Ralph looks healthy. He looks normal. He actually looks like normal guy now, and not the sickly, depressed guy that he was before. And his fangs are at bare, and he's got blood dripping down his chin. It's pretty clear what's happened. And
right.
As he looks at you, he just says, had to do it. He's still limited English, but he's like, had to do it. And then he says, for you. And he holds her limp body towards you. And you're realizing the pain in your neck is throbbing. And the smell is coming from Felicia Silver.
Oh, no.
And it is fantastic.
Oh, no. Oh, man. No, not my jam, man. Not my... Oh, man.
What would you like to do? I can tell you what your instincts are telling you.
Yes, my instincts are telling me that I want to accept this offer, I imagine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said that she is not dead.
Barely.
Okay. And he's kneeling down or standing up holding
her?
Yeah,
he was like sort of like on one knee feeding. Okay. But now he's going to stand up and hold her with both of his arms. He's going to hold her out to you as she's just sort of laying there in his arms like this is perfectly normal.
Oh, man. All right. I walk towards him very slowly. Mm-hmm. I guess I hold my arms out to take her from him.
Sure. And he'll hand her over to you. Now, I'm going to hand you a little flashlight.
Okay.
Because what I want you to do is to give me a cool roll.
Okay. 8. No ghost die.
All right, you can turn that off now. You really can't help yourself. As you're holding her, her eyes flutter and she looks up at you.
Paul, please help me. Help me.
And your lips just quiver, and you just sink right into that throat. You and you can feel it tearing open. You're peeling it open like a tin can, and you are feeding, and it's warm, and it's sweet, and it's wonderful. And you kind of just go feral for a moment, just taking this in. And after you've gotten your fill, and it feels fantastic. You feel energized and like alive, and you can see better, and everything, the colors, and just everything's happening all at once. It's hard to take everything in, but you hear the sound of one of the packs kick on, and then immediately a shot from a dark matter generator, and Ralph falls to the ground and crumbles into dust. And as you turn back to the doorway where it came from, you see me, Doug, holding a dark matter generator, and Tobin's next to me. And Tobin looks at you and growls, like scared and angry. And I'm looking at you, and I just say, "What's going on? What happened?" And I'm just completely at a loss.
Oh man, oh, this is so awful. This is so terrible. That was not my intent when I walked towards her.
That's what happened. So you're standing there. You're holding her body. What do you want to do?
I guess I put her body down.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Tobin's mad at me.
It's honestly like he doesn't recognize you.
Well, fuck it, man. I say, Doug, shoot me.
I'm confused that you say that. I'm like squinting, looking at you, and I'm seeing the blood, and I'm getting freaked out, and I'm just like trembling, holding this thing, and I'm like, Ralph attacked, and now you're here, and where's everyone else? What happened? Where did everybody go?
I don't know. Just, you have to make this stop, and we know there's no cure. Just,
what are you saying?
That I something happened. I guess I'm like him, and I don't want to be like him.
At this point, the lifeless body sits up, looks at you with her throat torn open, her eyes roll over black, and she speaks to you in a voice that's not hers at all.
Edwin Poole, you would renounce this gift.
Oh, man.
This gift to be an agent of death.
Yeah, that's kind of our whole thing. It's being the opposite of that.
But you understand so little of the nature of death. It is a gift. Most people simply die. But you die and continue to spread the comfort of oblivion.
Man, I think I actually get a better look at death than most people in other jobs.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at this and I'm like, Pool, tell me what's happening. What's going on? What is happening right now? And I'm like, the trigger finger is getting itchy, and I'm like, I'm pointing back and forth. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Consider your choices. You can continue to spread sweet death, or you could let your friend end you here. But either way, you will come to know me.
I pause for a long moment, and then I take a deep breath and say, I've known you a while, and I've always thought you were a bitch. And then I'm going to grab her as roughly as I can and put her in front of me, if possible, between Doug and me, and then tell Doug to shoot us both.
I'm still, like, really freaked out. And as soon as you grab her body, the light leaves her eyes. She's a corpse again. And if you hold her up, like, shoot, shoot, I'm just like, I can't, like, I freeze. Like, I can't do this. Like, I know you.
And I'm telling you, please, do this. I need you to do this.
You can't ask me to do it, because you're my friend. I can't. Do you know what it would do to me if I have to do this? Do you know what you would make me do?
Do you know what I will do to you if you don't?
I have tears in my eyes, and I cock the slide back, and I close my eyes, and I'm weeping, and I just shoot, and that's all I can do. And Tobin is like barking and growling, so angry, and you feel everything rip through you, and you fall to the ground, and you can feel yourself dissolving. So you are in the dark.
Okay.
What would you like to do?
I wave in every direction.
Now, you don't hear the other Ghostbusters, but you're waving in dark. You see dark, you're waving in dark.
And then I go, mbop, mbop. I don't know how to do the song, but I start singing mbop. And,
all right, fine.
And I wave while doing it, and I kind of shimmy.
Yeah, nothing happens.
Okay. Let's see. Well,
you see a light in the distance, very faint, but it's a point of light in the distance, and the sound seems to be coming from that light, and you start to hear sounds of traffic, maybe, perhaps. It's like a car, and I don't know, it sounds like maybe it's leading outside.
I guess I'll head that direction, because there's nothing over here. No one wants to reply with a friendly wave. Mm-hmm. I would sure feel better if somebody just waved back, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Moving in that direction, you keep going, and you're feeling the wind on your face, and the sounds of a city. And you find yourself exiting an alleyway Like, you're kind of inside an alleyway, but you're emerging from an alleyway, and you're seeing a city street. And then the sound of sirens makes it clear that these aren't standard police sirens or ambulance sirens. These are the European...
Yeah.
And as you look around, you're quickly putting together that this is London. It's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you're on the sidewalk. Other than the sirens, it seems kind of quiet. As you look down the street, you see that there was a traffic accident. The sirens are from an ambulance that is departing.
Okay.
They just you saw that they just loaded somebody up and it's departing and they're leaving. There's like fire there, fire truck putting out. There's firefighters there putting out a fire. It looks like a car may have partially caught on fire. This car was like rammed into a pole and it looked pretty bad. And there's cops there. And they're just kind of cleaning up and trying to keep people back, and there's tape and stuff like that. And that's where all the commotion definitely is happening.
Well, I guess I should check it out. Yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As you stroll right up, some of the police sort of give you a funny look because, you know, you're a Ghostbuster, and they seem to recognize it. There's like, Ghostbuster? No, thank you. Police, there's no paranormal disturbance here, but we appreciate you trying to help out. But best move along.
I'm gonna give it old scanny scan with my PKE, Watchman Fuzzit. Yeah, meter.
Okay. I'll just say, you don't have to roll for it. I'll just say you pull out the PKE meter and you start looking around. You don't notice anything really out of the ordinary. It just seems like you're just on a street corner, but you're getting a better look at the scene here. It's a car. Like I said, it sort of rammed into a pole, but it like was really bad. Like maybe it rolled over a couple times or something. It looks like it would even caught fire at a point, and it's bad. And you don't see any other cars. And it just looks kind of strange that it would do such a thing. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know, someone on their phone or something? Like, it's like, what like, this is, it just seems like a puzzling accident. And police officer's just like, I told you thank you, but really, it's quite all right.
Do I recognize the car?
It's familiar. Something about it seems really familiar. The police officer says, do you need me to call you a ride or anything like that? I mean, we've already taken the woman out of the car, and she's on her way to the hospital now. To be honest, we don't know if she's going to make it. It was quite bad, and it's a real shame, really. She was actually kind of famous.
Wait, what? Woman? What? Hold on. Yeah, I need to go to that hospital. Also, why am I in London?
I don't know, sir. Why are you in London?
I need to go.
I'm assuming you're here to catch ghosts or something.
Right. Yeah. So what I do? I need to go to that hospital, like, an hour ago. I need to be there.
Why?
I just need to go. It's, like, really important.
This is very well. There's another ambulance. You can catch a ride with them, and they'll take you there, so...
And I need her name.
Oh.
I think I might know who that is.
From what I understand, from what the other paramedics told me, she was a famous model.
Okay, yeah. Let me... give me the hospital, and I need
right.
to go. It's,
yeah.
like, this is related. This is
okay.
Ghostbusters business.
With that, yeah, he'll point you to the direction of the other ambulance that was getting ready to leave anyway. They say, yeah, load up, we'll take you. So you get in the ambulance, and it zooms over to the hospital. And as you get in, they're going to point you in the direction of where this was, and a doctor starts to speak with you. And because you're asking a lot of questions and trying to figure out where she is and who it was.
Yeah.
He's just like, I can't discuss any details about the patient with anyone who isn't family or anything. So I'm sorry. It's patient confidentiality.
I'm pretty sure I know her in that we and her are involved, and I really need to find out something.
He says, oh.
Because like.
Oh dear. You said you're involved with her?
Yeah. I need to know.
Very well. And he calls over a nurse, and he says if he can take you to the room. As you walk down the halls, the nurse is very quiet, very somber. She leads you to it, and she opens the door for you, and as you go in, and this is what is left of Vivian on life support. And she is in a very bad way. It looks like they try to do their best, but it's right now she's unconscious. A doctor follows in behind you, and he describes what little they know, that she was obviously in a collision. When she was conscious at the scene, when paramedics arrived, they tried to understand what had happened, and she said something about a tall man in maybe some kind of Halloween costume was in the road, blocking the road, and she swerved to miss him, but she just ran herself off the road trying to avoid something that she just described as a tall man in a strange leather armor. Really didn't make a lot of sense to us, quite frankly.
I don't know.
Well, I'll give you some time, but if she does survive, I do not expect her to wake. So he leaves. And the door closes and you're stuck in this room, left there, and it's just very quiet. But strangely, she seems to sense that you're there. Like she kind of moves her head like almost like in a dream. Her eyes slowly crack open and she's struggling to see you, and she thinks that she recognizes you, and she's Adam? Adam?
Yeah. It's me. You're there?
I'm glad you're here and that you're okay.
I'm okay. I have the weirdest luck. So what happened?
The thing in the road, I couldn't. And she passes out. Her head kind of doesn't necessarily snap, but it just sort of straightens. And her eyes slowly open, but when they open, her eyes are completely black.
Oh, that's not good. Hey, you thing. You done goofed in the worst possible way.
Tell me, how did I goof?
Well, let's see. I'm a pretty accomplished buster of ghosts and gods. And you're messing with my lady. That's not a good idea. Also, I don't think this is real.
I assure you, this is very real.
Alright, so what we're gonna do here is you're gonna show me what's going on for real, and then I'm gonna kick your ass.
I can see that the thought of losing your precious Vivian disturbs you greatly.
Yeah, you know, this is pretty messed up and would disturb me, but I know you haven't got Vivian. You're not fooling me. Also, she's a bit of a badass. She wouldn't be taken down by a chump like you.
I did nothing.
Or your lackeys, it doesn't matter. You guys don't have nothing.
Have the ability to spare her. You can decide if you don't want her to die here.
She's not going to die here.
Well, that's up to you. Shall we make a trade? Your life for hers.
Sure. Why not? But I don't think this is real, so you have no leverage.
Oh, it's not my intent to hurt you, Adam, but you will know pain.
Oh, no, 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 it's okay.
And if you, well, you seem to be willing to call the bluff. So here's what happens. The voice will stop and Vivian goes limp, and you start to see the burns on her start to shrink and fade away, and you start to see her arms go into normal, more comfortable positions at her side, but you start to feel very warm, and you start to burn, and you start to feel the patterns of burn on your face, and as it gets beyond uncomfortable, it starts to become painful. Your arm snaps downwards, backwards on itself, breaking the elbow, and your legs start to do the same. You feel them all breaking, all up and down your legs. You have no choice, but you just fall to the ground in complete pain, and at this point you hear people pounding on the door to get in, but the door, they just can't seem to get in, and they're hearing you scream in agony, and you can feel fire crawling up your body, and you flail to get around, but everything that seemed to be happening to Vivian is now happening to you, and it's becoming kind of clear that this is for real, and this pain is very real to you.
Okay.
So you are now in the dark.
Okay. But I'm home, though, so I feel fine.
So what would you like to do?
Well, I want to call out.
mm-hmm. to the other Ghostbusters. I want to be like, Briggs, Wall, Poole, anybody, Nina.
And as you would probably expect at this point, you do not get a response.
Okay. I clap my hands.
You clap and you do not hear an echo.
Okay. So the soundness, do I feel closed in or does it feel like there's a lot of space? It
feels very open.
Okay.
This is reminding you a little bit of the black hole from the phone booth.
Okay.
You start to hear voices. Around you, you start to hear the voices of the other Ghostbusters.
Okay.
And they seem to be in different conversations. Like it's kind of a cacophony of voices. Like just, they're not talking to each other. It's just like all around.
And it doesn't sound like they're doing what I'm doing.
No.
Okay.
And as you start to look around, you start to see them almost as if like a spotlight is like on them, but they're still in dark. They're still in blackness, but you can see very clearly them standing there reacting to things and looking at things and speaking to things and reacting just like they're being moved or shoved or maybe they're walking somewhere, but they're just right there. They don't seem to see each other and they do not seem to see you.
Okay, so it's almost like a play where they're featuring different characters with a spotlight.
Yeah, but all at the same time, and you can't really make sense of what's happening because you're only seeing like what they're doing.
Okay. From what I'm seeing, it doesn't appear that they're going through what I'm going through.
Correct.
Okay.
At this point, you're going to hear a breathing, an unearthly one that sounded much like the one that welcomed you home.
Mom?
As you look around, you see another light hit a figure, and I'm going to give you a flashlight and this picture.
Okay, I see this illuminated the same as the other Ghostbusters?
Yeah. And how would you describe this?
Well, I'm wondering if with that many eyes he can see me. His head looks like it has pipes coming out of the top of it like an organ or some kind of headdress. And an organ like a musical organ, not like, don't be gross. His face is wrinkled and facing upwards towards the points like a turban, but there are eyes out of the folds of it and then a mouth directly below that. Looks like he's got around 8 eyes, maybe 9. He's got a pair of shoulders that look like monuments. Exposed ribs, but fewer than I have. And very skinny, like emaciated. Down to a ceremonial robe skirt with a bunch of geometric lines on it all the way down. And he's got 2 hands raised. One of them's giving me the horns, which I'm into. And the other one looks like he's about to form the shocker.
Aren't you fascinating?
Yes.
You've been touched by a deity of death. You have a great power in you.
Thanks, man.
You see, your friends are experiencing their own lessons about the nature of death, but I knew I couldn't fool you, Josh. I think it would be best if we parlay, you and I.
I'll parlay. Yeah, anytime.
You make light in the face of death. Truly fearless, perhaps then I will make a bargain. Pick one of your friends to no longer exist on this plane, to die, and I will grant you the power you have tenfold. Possibly even powerful enough to defeat my master.
Well, when you said that you would make it so one of my friends no longer existed on this plane, I was pretty stoked, because this plane sucks.
They would die, of course.
What if I didn't do that?
I'll kill 2 of them at random and your power permanently.
All right, so I got like a Sophie's Choice. Okay.
You know your friends, and you have some sense of the perils that still lie in wait. I wonder who's the most expendable. If you're not willing to use it, then you're squandering it.
I mean, I've squandered a lot. Can you go into detail about how powerful I'll be?
Oh, yes. With the psychokinetic energies inside of you, you might be able to tear a metaphysical entity asunder with your very thoughts. All of the science you have.
I'm going to plug him with my neutron wand.
If you just interrupt him.
yeah, I'm just going to zap him.
Yeah, you zap, and he shatters like a mirror, just like immediately, like mid-sentence. If you turn, he's there yet again.
As I was saying, all of your science, you would wield that power and more.
Give me a second, I need to think.
Certainly.
Okay, because this is a difficult decision. Hold on, I need to consult one of my devices. Is that okay?
Why even trust your device when you could look within?
Well, because, you know, that's all I ever do. So, okay, give me a sec. I'm going to pull out the slime grenade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to press the button.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, hey, Google, should I kill one of my friends? And I'm going to drop it at my feet.
Okay. The grenade will go off.
Yep.
And it covers you. And some of it sprays onto everyone else. They don't seem to notice. It seems to have gone through the creature. Didn't land on him at all. And he's still there.
Okay.
Curious.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do that. You're just going to have to reveal yourself.
I have revealed myself to you already. But perhaps you seek greater understanding.
Well, yeah, man. All the time.
Wonderful. It is my desire above all else to preach the virtues of death.
With that, everyone in your given situations that you were in, you black out, and suddenly lights come on, and you find yourselves in what can only be described as a church of death. This looks like the inside of a cathedral. It's like the Sedlak ossuary, if it was designed by H.R. Geiger, and Cenobites would pray here if they were the praying type.
Oh. Wow, okay.
Bones everywhere, very horrific-looking designs, very alien designs, very large, very cavernous. There is an altar, and lining up the... where there's no pews, people are sort of just kneeling in rows facing the altar, and it would stand to reason that these people are probably the people that were stuck inside the haunted house. They're all, like, shrouded in robes, but you can see their heads as they're kneeling and everything, and whispering to themselves, but can't really hear what they're saying. As the lights are fading up, you're seeing that you're all standing close to each other, and you're all covered in green slime.
I wonder how that happened.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
Hey, guys.
So, do my burns feel better?
Yeah, you do. You do feel better.
Is my legs broken and my arms? Like,
yeah. So first thing I do is just start padding across my body, and
you appear to feel the whole of it. You feel normal, except confused and a little intimidated by the surroundings.
What about gear check? Are we armed?
Yeah, you are armed. You have everything that you entered with.
So I've stopped screaming and I'm not on fire and my leg isn't ripped
correct.
Off.
Correct.
I take a quick assessment. I can see everybody else, right?
Oh, yeah. Everyone can see everyone.
We're all here.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I say, I'm not at a creepy party.
Awesome. I say, and to think I hesitated.
I breathe in deep and I'm like, oh my God, finally air.
So, guys, it was
I
fake.
Just say,
I totally knew it was
where's
fake.
Where's Tobin?
What the hell happened to you guys?
Dude, I caught on fire.
You don't have any time to talk about this. It's like you're kind of all realizing like okay, we're all back.
I'm fine.
Yeah. You're all realizing that you're all back, and you see the congregation kneeling towards the altar, and standing at the altar is this fellow, which I'm going to shine a light so that you can see.
He ugly. I want to punch him right in the stomach.
He's facing us.
Yeah, he's up on the altar.
Like on the dais or...
Yeah, the dais, yes, yes. But now that you're there, I think he'll address you.
Well, here you are in my chapel of death, where all of the humans who came to this place to worship and exalt and glorify death now know the bliss of necrosis.
Ugh.
All of you have had valuable experiences understanding the truth of death, which, much to my surprise, you all have no true understanding, despite being in the business, so to speak. Your compatriot, Josh LaForge, decided that I would select two of you to die.
Oh, it's gonna be me.
Your efforts to cling to the pain of life are so damnably stubborn.
So, since Josh decided to let randomization determine two, everyone's going to have to roll a ghost die.
Can I just take one for the team?
No, this is still the best way this could have been.
I mean, you're going to roll a ghost die anyway.
I mean, it's true. Right.
Piss!
Who got a ghost?
God damn it, every time.
So who got a ghost?
Poole and Briggs.
Only the two?
Yes.
Only the two.
Well, that's satisfactory.
On the first rule.
Well, John, we are going to die like best friends.
Y'all, I'm going to take someone out with me.
Me?
And according to the deal, which Josh decided not to choose, not only would two be chosen at random, but his abilities would also be permanently taken away.
He's a dick. I don't know what to tell. Like, guys, I'm sorry if any of you die. But look, we have this conversation every time we leave the fire station.
If any of you die, sorry, but, you know, nature of the business.
That's why we have absurd life insurance policies out on all of us.
I have made my choice. And when Boar Adam Briggs, you have both come to accept a form of death. Perhaps you can't be ready to cease to be.
He motions up to the altar for both of you to come to the altar.
Come.
What's our distance currently?
Maybe 20 feet. Probably a little bit less.
I bosoned dart him immediately.
Yeah.
That's my response to him asking me to come up there.
I was going to shoot from the hip.
Well, then between the two of you, give me a standard moves roll to see who actually draws first.
Okay.
17.
Oh, more than that. 27.
Wow.
Damn.
You both instinctively reach for your weapons. Poole just happens to draw first because it's the pistol.
Like Han Solo, Empire Strikes Back, sees Darth Vader, just like...
I mean, it's a similar situation, really, as it's beckoning you in, and you shoot dead on. And to your surprise, it seems to really damage him, and he is down. He collapses onto the dais.
So you yet resist. You do well to remember, Ghostbusters. Your first breath is the beginning of your death.
He's dead.
Really?
As he goes limp,
oh.
His body turns to ash and crumbles. The materia is where his heart would be, and it glows kind of like a black purple look, and he is gone.
Good job, guys.
Nothing pops out of it?
Wait. The people in the robes that were seen to be praying all sort of lament, like, no, what? And they're confused and they don't understand what's happening. And the bones of this temple just sort of fall away, and you find yourselves inside what would look like for lack of a better description, it's like a haunted house, but it's flattened. Like, you're still standing on top of the debris of, like, a haunted house. Like, the haunted house that was here is just, it's fallen down. All the flats of the walls have just fallen apart like a house of cards. You're all safe. You're all standing on solid ground. And the people are just confused as to what's happening, and they're kind of calling out, saying, no, come back, please, no! And they don't understand. But everything looks normal, and the materia is there glowing.
Nothing pops out of it?
Not until you touch it, I believe, is the way it goes.
I pick up the materia.
Just as with every druiden that came before it, it starts to vibrate and get really warm, and then a formless spirit shoots out, looks like a class one, sort of zipping around, a little bit confused. Now's your chance. I'm gonna get him.
I holster my pistol and say, this one's yours, Briggs.
21.
Yeah, you got it. You got it in a stream, and you're ready to bend to a trap. 12 and goes. I'd say you got it, but I just say you're kind of realizing this is sort of on rocky ground, so whoever's got a trap is going to have to roll to throw out a trap accurately.
I got it.
Rich, do we come on this bus with one trap? That's dangerous, guys. Let's not do that again.
I got climbing gear.
Yeah, especially in a situation like this.
20. You can't really roll it because of the debris, so you toss the trap. It lands right where it needs to, opens up. You guys guide it in with those rolls, and it just goes in like normal, seal shut, and you're done.
That feels off.
Fill it up and seal it shut.
That was a little easy. Are the people around us still responding all freaky now that the entity is?
They're all very confused. Some of them are crying.
Slime them.
Yeah, you gotta hose them, guys.
All right, I won't make you roll for that. Everyone gets hosed. Some of them go unconscious. Some of them are just more confused. But at this point, you can see the fire exits. You can see a way out of here and everything like that. What would you guys like to do then?
I'm going to make a phone call.
Okay. Go ahead and if you want to step outside, you can try about making the call. Is there anything else anyone wanted to do?
Let's slap this bad boy in the mobile containment unit.
That is
sure.
Fresh.
I also have a phone call I need to make back to the firehouse.
Uh-huh. we'll deal with that, but as far as on the ground here, anything else?
No.
Let's get the
let's do a PKE, make sure that there's nothing that's still
uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I can
PKE.
Yeah,
let Nina do it.
Yeah.
Can
I? Sure.
Anybody else weirded out about how easy and uneventful that was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uneventful.
I was gonna say. Yeah.
Well,
just, what are you talking about? Off. It just went dark. He showed up and we shot him.
No, Josh is right there. Something is off.
No, his perception of what happened was uneventful.
True, but like one shot from a pistol and a boson dart after that.
Like, it was a good shot.
You know, like that those last few episodes of Gunga Hogan where everyone is in that weird multi-dimensional
shit?
You know,
nobody listening knows what the fuck you're talking about.
We've got too wrapped up in our own little world.
All right. Sorry.
What did Nina roll?
20.
Your PKA scan shows zip. You got it. There's nothing here.
Good.
A druiden of nothingness would not be afraid to go to nothingness.
We did him a favor. Yeah.
The final warning that he gave was that this is nothing compared to what you so desperately wanted to cling to this life of nothing but pain and misery when you could have just taken an easy exit.
Yeah.
By all accounts, you've captured it. It is in that trap. You definitely have it.
I'm down with crying another 1,000 times before I die.
We'll start with Briggs. Did you want to make a phone call?
Yeah. I'll call Vivian.
All right. She answers.
I go, hey, how's things?
Oh, they're all right. Happy to hear from you. Are you doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. We almost got the last one of these ghosts.
I was thinking about going for a drive.
Pop down to the shop and pick up something really quick. She doesn't say that.
Uber Eats. Yeah.
She says everything seems fine there, and she's happy to hear from you. Glad that you actually called for a change. She didn't have to call you.
Yeah, you know, it's just feeling a little good. Yeah. You know, okay. Second lease on life type thing.
Yeah. She says she misses.
Second lease on your life type of thing.
She says she misses you, and she's still worried about you. So,
Oh, well, good. Know. Hey, we only got like one more, guys. One more. I kind of raised my hand. One more.
Another? Probably lots more.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots more.
So one more ghost.
Oh, I guess that's good news. Please be careful.
Oh, you know I will.
Pool, you want to make a phone call?
Yeah, I'm gonna call the firehouse.
Yeah, I answer.
I say, Doug, put Tobin on the phone.
This is like, what?
What happened? Like, what happened at the bus? Did everything go okay?
Yeah, it's all fine. How's Ralph?
He's in the back, and he's quiet, but everything's fine.
All right. We didn't really address him coming out and talking about how hungry he was. So, remember how we told Whitewood where that proton pistol was?
Yeah, he's here with me.
Yeah, he needs to have that.
He does.
Okay, he needs to be very aware of...
We've been ready for hours! The world is ending, and you're telling me we gotta be ready? I know! You're telling me something I already know. But do you need anything? We're okay, but you're acting really weird.
Tell him he died.
No.
Tell him he died.
He didn't die.
But you did.
No.
But you did.
What are you guys talking about?
I mean, we're heading north, right? I think we're heading to Casadega.
Yeah.
Do we want to go to the firehouse, swap out anything, empty the trap, or just head north?
Well, how far out of the way is the firehouse?
Anyway. At regular speed, on a regular night, 30 minutes.
Okay.
Well, we're heading up I-4 anyway, so it's literally just the difference from I-4 to Mills, which is not terribly bad at all.
Excuse me, after all these nightmares, you want to go on I-4?
Well, the roads are a little clear because of crazy shit's been happening.
And we got lights.
Fine. Yeah, no, we'll be fine.
Yeah, emergency vehicle.
I love doors. My lights. Lights.
So what's the plan?
Wait, so you guys okay? You seem pretty worried.
Yeah, we're all just sweating, like in cold
covered
sweats.
In goo.
Yeah.
I keep rubbing my leg and looking at my skin.
I pull out a little photo of Tobin that I keep in my pocket.
I really want a drink. But I don't want to drink.
I'm like, is any, like, probably no libraries open at this time of night, but I need a history book, like, right now. I need to brush up on my U.S. history, like, ASAP.
I'm pretty worried about Casadega, because we've never gotten a phone call. We just registered, like, a PKE surge there. Like, yeah. We haven't gotten a single phone call.
Let's go.
But, on Mr. Book, we've put together that
You've narrowed it down.
I'm going to guess this is the palm reading related.
Yes.
Druid in.
By process of elimination.
Process of elimination, and that it's Casadega, where all the psychics are anyway. We let the universal people know that it should be taken care of. There's some people inside they need probably to be seen to.
Psychologically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so where are we going?
Casadega.
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 Casadega it is.
Which vehicle are we in? Does it have a
we have two vehicles.
You were repairing the Ecto-1 because it was in poor condition. You drove it to Universal on its like last legs to be safe in case you needed, like, just in case there was anything. So yes, you did arrive in the van and in the Ecto-1s, but you know.
Okay, but if you break down on I-4,
right.
Like we can't afford to stop and come and pick
let's
you back
just,
up.
Let's have the police or somebody tow it back to the firehouse.
That's a good
and
idea.
And then sure. We'll just take the van up there.
Sure. They'll arrange for that.
So at this point, are all the Druidin in our actual containment unit?
So far.
With the exception of the one you just busted.
Okay. And we have all the material with us?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Are they acting weird when they're in close proximity still?
When they're in close proximity, they just glow, and that's it.
Okay.
What color is this one?
Black.
Blackish purplish. Yeah. Very dark black.
There's no way I'm getting Knights of the Round from that one.
So we're on the road to Casadega?
Yeah, let's go. I will drive very fast, but safely. I will drive very fast, very fast.
Can I check in with Bitchface and see how... Didn't we tell her to try and get a team together to go clear Mims... Or,
the zombies out Bithlo, of, like, the Mims and Bithlo.
Bithlo and Christmas.
The Gray Squadron found 12 zombies roaming the highway and exterminated them. We've incinerated the bodies just to be safe... Local law enforcement confirmed no further sightings.
Okay, I tell her, I understand it's been an emotional night for all of us, and once we get this cleared up, I'm willing to sit down and talk with you about this Ralph situation.
Thank you. That actually means a lot. let me know if there's anything else I can do to help.
Okay, if we think of something, we'll reach out.
Cool.
That's all right.
That's I think we're here. Calling it for there then.
Yes.
Neat.
I was glad that my experience was so mild. I was like, oh, everybody else is doing okay.
I wasn't.
No.
I was having a real bad time.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Ghostbusters Resurrection. If you found our services satisfactory, please consider telling a friend, or you can rate and review us on iTunes.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other Nerdy Show programs alive. If you value our world-class ghost removal services, please consider supporting the Nerdy Show Network on Patreon.
Exclusive bonus GBR content, like early episode releases, outtakes, and behind-the-scenes discussions. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow.
If you'd like to run your own Ghostbusters role-playing game, franchising opportunities are available now. Head over to gbrpg.com for more information.
We're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on Twitter at GBResurrection, as well as Facebook and Tumblr.
If you'd like to report a spook, specter, or ghost, you can leave us a voicemail at 321-209-2020.
We're ready to believe you.
How do you study an animal so elusive it's known as the ghost of the mountain? For researchers at the Snow Leopard Trust, the answer is artificial intelligence. By using Microsoft AI to analyze thousands of remote camera images for snow leopards, a task that used to take days is now done in minutes, so researchers have more time to save this threatened species. See how Microsoft AI helps us protect our environment at microsoft.com/AI.
Hi guys, we are No Such Thing as a Fish, and we have written a book of the most amazing things to have happened this year.
Did you know the British government this year issued a death sentence to a single bee?
Our podcast is all about facts, and our book is jam-packed with all the best facts that we've found over the last 365 days.
That's right, so if you want to stuff those newsy facts into your head, search for The Book of the Year 2019.
And if you just want to listen to our podcast, go to nosuchthingasafish.com.
Hello, is this the Central Florida Ghostbusters? My name is Josh Roy. I'm one of the junior busters in Arizona. We got a call from one of our apartments saying that their kids' animated show characters are literally popping out of the screen. We have no idea what to do, so if we could get one of your guys get over here and if you can help us, that would be great. And that would be really thoughtful, and thank you for helping us. Well, have a good day.
Hey, there's this big 7-foot-tall dude in here. And I think he's a ghost. And that's the reason I'm calling Ghostbusters, and I'm drunk. Somebody gone. Thank you for your time. Don't eat McDonald's.
Hey, folks, this is Doug. Thanks for joining us on these weekly releases continuing Season 3, Fear Itself. These episodes were first released via the Omniverse Nerdy Show Network Patreon, and as soon as we've got finished shows, they go straight to our supporters. And that'll be the case until this season is wrapped. Patrons will get them first, and as soon as we have enough to either do another event release like this, or a regularly scheduled release, we'll release the new episodes publicly. If you want to get in on that action and support us, head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to chip in. And don't forget, we've now got t-shirts, perfect for accenting a half-zipped flight suit or being casually spooky any day of the year. Head to nerdyshow.com/gbshirts to be directed to our TeePublic store, where you'll find our Goo Man Group shirts, commemorating the team's European tour, a haunting Druden illustration, and of course, no fangs. Thanks again for all the love in our off-season, and please don't hesitate to reach out. In the meantime, stay fit, keep sharp, and make good decisions.
Throughout human history, one group of individuals has repeatedly jeopardized mankind's welfare and happiness. The basic laws of human stupidity confirms our worst fears that stupid people can and do rule the world. and, more importantly, explains how to identify and combat the threat. Stupid times call for clever books. The international bestseller, The Basic Laws of Human Stupidity, out now.